In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, friends, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Avengers Day.
Wow.
And Game of Thrones weekend. And Cobra Kai season 2. And whatever the hell Taylor Swift's going to do.
I expect way more enthusiasm from you, considering this magical weekend that is upon us.
This is the craziest, pop culture weekend. I think I can't remember the last time it was kind of this crazy. Everything's going on, like this weekend.
Well, how about that?
Well, Taylor Swift and Captain America will just die in the Battle of Winterfell, and then we can all get that in our SEO on Monday morning.
And then Spider-Man's going to be on the Iron Throne.
Journalist dream. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And my favorite Chris is Chris Evans. Please don't ever shave your beard ever again. Please and thank you.
I'm Brian Truitt, and I watch movies. And yes, the best Chris is always Evans, no matter what the facial hair sitch.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and my favorite Chris is Chris Evans. For a while, it was Chris Pine, but we're at a different moment in our lives now.
Never go full Pine.
Pine had his time. There was a time when
Pine had 5 minutes.
It was 5 minutes, but it was like a really important 5 minutes for me personally.
Okay, real quickly, because now it's on my head. We got to rank the Chris's. So how would you rank your Chris's? I got Evans. I'd probably go Hemsworth, Pine, and Pratt. Am I missing a Chris?
I mean, those are the ones we usually talk about. Yeah. Mine's Evans, Pine, Hemsworth, a lot of stuff, and then Pratt.
After Endgame, I'd go Evans, Hemsworth, Pine, and Pratt tied.
Oh, interesting. Okay. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And while you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll help other fans do whatever it takes to find the nerdy pop culture that they're craving. And as a bonus, you get a very special shout out. For example, we have 2 reviews this week. Thank you, friends. First, we have CoolKid260, who writes, I listen to this weekly for the past several years. Brian, you are not the only one who likes Suicide Squad. It was my favorite DCU movie until Shazam.
There's 2 of us now. Two.
Two outliers for life.
There are dozens of us.
Hashtag outliers for life.
Our second listener is a name that I wish I could pronounce, and I'm not going to try, but it says, super fun and hilarious, great to listen to in the mornings to get a laugh to start your day. Thank you so very much. We really appreciate it.
HEUDJFJXKO. I hope you're not a bot.
That's like Scandinavian or something.
Maybe it's like Mitzelplick. Maybe it's like Mitzelplick or something, you know, from comic books. But thank you. We really appreciate the feedback. And again, see, try it out. Tell us what you want from the show. Tell us what you think. It's all upside for you guys. And, you know, you get a shout out. So it's great. Everybody wins. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at MothershipPod, or you can send an email to MothershipPod@USAToday.com. This week, your Mothership crew is going to do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave. Became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is to start over.
telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
That was from Avengers Endgame, a moment that has been 11 years and 22 films in the making. It picks up right where we left off in 2018's Avengers Infinity War, where, spoiler alert, Thanos wiped out half of all living things in the universe using the Infinity Gauntlet, leaving the original crew, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, a.k.a. Ronin, I guess. I don't know if what's going on with that.
Yeah, anybody's in the know, it's Ronin.
Iron Man. As well as a few other friends, like Okoye, Rocket, Nebula, War Machine, Ant-Man, to help clean up this whole mess and stop Thanos. Since this is such a big deal, we are actually going to have two podcasts. This week, we're going to go very light on the spoilers. We've done everything again to avoid them. If you really don't want to hear anything about this movie until it comes out, download this on your phone or your computer or wherever else, watch the movie, and then you can come back and listen. Next week, we are taking the gloves off.
The Infinity Gauntlets off.
Yes.
Jeez, Brett. Why do we even pay you?
Jinx. We're going all in with the... We said it at the same time. Oh, Kelly can't talk anymore.
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I said your name.
There we go.
It used to be you had to say Coke or something or whatever. I forget. Anyway. Next week, we're going all in with spoilers. And we'll talk about everything that happens in the movie, what's next, and all that other fun stuff. But first, let's focus on our spoiler-free look at Endgame. Brian and Kelly have both watched it. What did you think?
I mean, we can't really talk about any of the movie. We could probably talk about like 20% of the movie. But yeah, it's pretty damn good. I mean, I feel like, you know, I think what the Russos have done was for Civil War and then Infinity War and now this, you know, just so many characters, so much stuff going on. The fact is anywhere near coherent is just kind of miraculous. The fact that it's really, really good and pays off like the last, you know, decade plus of films, has so many character moments, so much everything, and it's just satisfying. I think it's a minor miracle. It's probably more, it's like a, not between a minor and a major miracle, it's like, you know, it's like a standard miracle. It really is impressive what they've done and how good it is. We get to see Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, and every one of your favorites are in here, and it's you know, for somebody who's been watching these movies for a long time and has been caring about comic books for, you know, most of my life, you know, you get chills and you get goosebumps. So much could go wrong and it never does. And it's so good. So it's just really impressive what they've done here.
Kelly, what did you think?
I liked it. I don't think I liked it quite as much as Brian did, but I think that is how our relationship works.
Pretty much.
So one of the things that I liked most about it was that it didn't go in a direction that I thought it was going to go. The overall arc of the movie I found to be very interesting and surprising, and I think might be the most controversial for a lot of fans in terms of people who think they know what they're going to see. And then there were a lot of like individual moments that were like twisty and shocking that I really enjoyed and some that made me really happy. I did not like the first 15 minutes, and I'm definitely going to talk about that more later since I can talk about the first 15 minutes.
This entire podcast is about the first 15 minutes, by the way. Anyway, so is this the final movie that you hoped it would be? I mean, we're going across 22 movies now. Is this kind of what you were looking for from a final Avengers kind of MCU chapter flick?
I really liked the ending overall. I think there was a lot of attention paid to paying off fans who have watched every single movie And so it kind of seems like a series finale in a lot of ways because it's so reflective. So it doesn't necessarily feel like the ending of a regular movie in a lot of ways. But I think that will be really appreciated by fans. It's almost has a lot of tribute factors. I didn't love every choice they made along the way.
There you go. Brian, what did you think?
It was a lot of fan service, but it wasn't like pandering.
Yeah.
It was bringing a lot of threads together, bringing a lot of people together that haven't spent any time together in a while, and paying things off. So there's a familiarity to it. And, you know, in my review, I call it a greatest hits package because kind of is. There's a lot of callbacks to past adventures. There's a lot of people that you haven't seen in a while that show up, not just from the movies too, you know, outside of the movies as well. But it also surprised me. You know, there's a lot that happens in the middle and the end that I did not, well, you know, I kind of wondered if it would happen and it kind of did, but they were able to surprise. It was never really predictable and you really never know, you know, who was going to go left, who's going to go right. You know, it showed characters in a new way that we haven't seen them. And, you know, it, especially for the original six Avengers, we got to see probably who they were inside more than any other Avengers film, which is, again, in a 3-hour movie with so much friggin' stuff going on, that is impressive because you managed to find really good character moments and you know, friendships that are reformed and different alliances than we've ever seen before. Is both comforting in a familiar way, but it also is surprising and it keeps you on your toes because there, you know, there are a lot of swerves and surprises and things. And it does, you know, like Kelly said, it does seem like a series finale. And to a certain degree, I do wonder where it goes after this, because if you just said this is the last Marvel movie, I'd be like, okay, I'm cool with that. Of course it's not, because, you know, they got to make
money.
Scrooge
money,
McDuck
money.
Has to have more gold coins in his vault. So there's going to be more.
Yeah, I think the reason this movie is 3 hours is because from like the 15 or 20 minute time marker until like an hour and 15 minutes in, it's all about character. And I think some fans who are only there for punchy fighty will be really bored or like be annoyed. And that's where the guys who hated Last Jedi are going to come and rip this movie, in my opinion, for that section.
But the climax will probably bring them back,
well,
because
yeah.
It is the craziest thing I've ever seen in a superhero movie.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying there's no fighting in this movie.
Yeah.
There's fighting.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of sitting around and talking. Like a lot of sitting around and talking. And I think that's what surprised me the most, because the way that Infinity War was structured was so haphazard and random. And the pacing was like up, down, up, down. It was a lot. And this movie slows down a bunch. And I think that is helped by the fact that they wiped out a bunch of the characters. And because that the overall theme is one of grief and loss, as opposed to one of frantic attempts to save something. Like, the bad thing already happened. So, you know, this is not a spoiler, in my opinion. They're trying to undo the bad thing that happened. But time has passed, so it's not like people are going to die tomorrow, so they have to work in 8 hours. People died a while ago, so they have to work however they have to work. So that, I think, was the biggest surprise for me, and I think it was a really good thing. And I think Hawkeye and Black Widow were slightly less well-served by that, but I do think Tony and Steve were incredibly well-served by that.
And also, what's interesting, too, is not only kind of like, you know, the fact that they've lost and, you know, they have to be Avengers, which really annoys one of them. But there's also the fact of, like, you know, when this catches up with people, certain people have moved on. Certain people are in a good place. Do they want to undo the good place? Do they want to go back to the bad place, or, you know, potentially the bad place? And I feel that, you know, I'm really tiptoeing. But I think that's interesting, because they have to weigh life and loss and, you know, the greater good. And what does the greater good look like? And what do you do, you know, with second and third chances when you're given to them, when you're, you know, this amazing being who learns that they're not so amazing?
And, you know, how do you move on after loss is also a really big thing. I mean, I've read a few reviews this morning and a lot of them compare it to The Leftovers and, like, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
Not as good, but they're not wrong.
Leftovers had like 3 seasons too. I mean, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm appreciating Brian and Kelly tiptoeing through this movie. Like they are in a room with a series of traps and they are trying very hard not to set a trap off. It's very fascinating.
I'm like Bob Fosse, like tiptoeing, like old tiptoeing dance maneuver.
So Kelly mentioned the runtime. It's over 3 hours, which brings up the question
it's
of.
It's just about 3 hours. About
it's
three
like
hours.
Almost exactly 3 hours.
It's like 2 hours and 90 or 58 minutes or something.
Does it ever feel bloated at all, or does it feel like all 3 hours are just well used?
Oh, it feels like a 3 hour movie. The thing about Infinity War is I don't totally agree with the haphazard pacing of it, but it has a momentum. It has there's a forward motion to it. And all the characters contribute to the forward motion because, you know, you have all these disparate characters coming in from space and Wakanda and blah, 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 blah. And so there is a momentum to it. This thing slows down. Like, and, you know, there's a lot of talking moments. And when we get to the stuff we can't talk about in the middle of the movie, there's some, you know, it loses some momentum as, you know, as certain people have certain things to do. And, you know, and it's not until they kind of, you know, everybody gets back and then, you know, so, okay, now we're fast forwarding again. And you go, the momentum picks up, but it doesn't feel bloated and you never know. You're never like bored. Look, you know, I had my phone taken away, so I couldn't look at what time it was, but it never feels like, oh God, this thing just needs to end, because it always kind of keeps surprising, keeps you on your toes, but it does kind of like slow down and you're like, oh yeah, let's pick it back up a little bit.
Yeah. I think Infinity War for me is very relentless. And so I feel like I almost get lost when I'm watching things that are so fast paced to the point where like there's no time to breathe. And I think only the last hour of this movie is like that. So I think I kind of think it's 3.25 acts, because there's like a thing that happens at the beginning and then we get into this leftover sitch, and then there's a different thing that happens, and then there's a final thing that happens. I could teach
and then something that, and then an epilogue. So.
And then then an epilogue. But just one. This isn't a Return of the King situation.
Thank God.
Thank God. But I think because those things feel very distinct, almost like you're in 3 1/4 different movies, it helps keep you going the whole time. I think there were a couple scenes that went on too long. Like, you know, my like journalist editor mind is like, we could just snap a little here and snap a little there. And, you know, and then we could get it into a tight 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Well, there we go. So obviously, Infinity War, we lost a ton of heroes. But there are still plenty to work with in Endgame. It's not like we're stuck with one or two people. How well does everyone share the screen together? Kelly, what did you think?
Obviously, I think I said this earlier, that Steve and Tony sort of are the centerpieces of the film, which makes a lot of sense in terms of them having been the centerpieces of the MCU for 11 years. I think Nebula will surprise a lot of people in terms of how much screen time she has. Brian, do you think that's okay to say?
Yes.
Okay.
But pleasantly.
But pleasantly. Yes, pleasantly surprised. I think she gets to have more dimension to her than we got to see in either of the Guardians movies or Infinity War. But like, you know, in Infinity War, she was just one of many people fighting. I really don't like what they did with Captain Marvel, Black Widow, and Hawkeye.
That is kind of surprising, especially since we just had Captain Marvel a couple months ago in her own movie.
I just didn't love the way they integrated her, without saying what way that was.
That's another trap Kelly just walked by. Excellent job. Brian, what about you?
Well, actually, I'm going to stick my foot in the trap, kind of. So it's an interesting thing, a little inside baseball, but they shot these Avengers movies, both Infinity War and
Endgame.
Before they did the Captain Marvel movie. Interesting to note. So I don't think they really ever figured out that character. And I think if you watch the Captain Marvel movie, they really kind of don't know the character there. And I think that, and then, so if they haven't figured out the character in a solo movie, they, you know, the thing they did it before didn't figure her out there either. We'll have more to talk about there. But I think it's almost like we spent so many time with all these characters, especially the OG crew, that we kind of know, we already know them. We don't have to have a lot of character development. We spent like more than a decade with Iron Man, and you know, we know them well. This thing doesn't have time for character development. And anytime, you know, and there's stuff that, like, you know, it adds to character, but there's no time to be like, this is this person. Let's give him a whole character arc. So I think she is not served well because of that. So it's almost kind of like a last in, first out kind of situation.
Yeah.
Where it's weird. It's strange. But we'll have more to talk about that later. But
I agree with everything Brian said.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more to talk about. And but back to the OGs. Again, Steve and Tony, you know, they fell out during Civil War. A lot of good stuff between them. I disagree a little bit with Hawkeye and Black Widow. I think they are probably of the original Avengers, because they never had any solo movies other than Hulk. You know, they really didn't have that much character development. They kind of, everything happened kind of on the fly, and a lot of it was like, these two people are secret agents, and they don't really have superpowers, but, you know, kind of like, you're kind of almost, you have to go off of like the archetype of a secret agent to kind of like fill in a lot of blanks. But you get some interesting stuff between them and with other characters, which I appreciated. Hulk is kind of like the low-key MVP of this thing. Won't talk about more about that, but just going in. And I think it's interesting kind of to note that of the not original Avenger, and Thor 2 is good, but Ant-Man,
yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of cool moments with him. And, you know, his personality is kind of one of the things that really drives the Ant-Man movies. And that carries over well in here, too. So it's kind of of the kind of like not really Avengers people, he kind of is well served.
I think also Ant-Man and Hawkeye weren't in Infinity War, and the way that they treat them coming into this post-snap world without having been in Infinity War and like already fighting Thanos, I think Ant-Man has a much cleaner entry point than Hawkeye does. And I think that's part of what bothered me about the way they did Hawkeye in this movie. And I'll talk more about it next week. Drink every time we say we're going to talk more about it next week.
Real quick, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult has it been trying to talk about this movie without talking about this movie?
Well, we just saw it yesterday. So, I mean, we're recording Wednesday. So it hasn't even been 24 hours. So we're trying to figure stuff out.
I mean, at least my fiance got to come with me.
I mean, you know, because I had to write the review in the car, because like I got out of the movie with like less than 2 hours before the review embargo. We had to put the review up. I really didn't have to spend that much time on plot, because it was just like a paragraph of plot, and pretty much I couldn't talk about anything else. So cool. But I think, it is interesting too, because, you know, we're talking around a lot of things, but I think, you know, the kind of the cool thing about these Marvel movies is obviously there's so much kind of like involved with plot and the way things move and intertwine and look toward the future and everything. This movie spends a lot of time with its characters in the and not really thinking about what's going to happen later. What is happening now with them is the most important thing. And that is not true of all the Marvel movies. And I think it kind of does some cool things with that, because we don't know these people. We don't know if they're going to last, you know, another 10 minutes in this movie, because, you know, it's everybody's always in danger. So I think there's almost like a, you know, live the moment as much as you can with all of them, because, you know, you like as the movie goes forward, you don't know who's going to, you know, croak or not.
And I think that a lot of superhero movies have been criticized over the years for spending too much time setting up potential sequels and not spending enough time on the movie that they're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
And this almost feels like a little bit of a self-aware commentary on that.
So, okay, one last question. This is probably the most important question I have to ask here. Do we ever figure out what kind of crops Thanos is growing on his farm? Because obviously we see it in the Endgame trailer, Farmer Thanos, and looks like a little scarecrow with his outfit, costume, whatever.
Armor.
Armor. Thank you. I was like, what's that word that I'm looking for? Do we ever learn what he's growing?
Yep.
Sadness.
Oh, okay.
No, Brian, what is it actually?
I mean, it's a minor spoiler.
Oh my God. This is a spoiler.
Is this really a spoiler?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's like a big dragon fruit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know they had dragon fruit on.
It's funny. I saw you say that and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny. It's dragon fruit. I didn't know it was literally the thing.
It's kind of, I mean, I can't talk about it. We'll talk about it. But it's just like, it's funny when we see him again.
Oh, well, all right then. Okay, listeners, your turn. have you already watched Avengers Endgame? What did you think? Is it the finish you hoped for? Are you surprised that Thanos grows dragon fruit, not something like more basic like corn or something? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at KLawls, KLAWLS.
And don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. Also, bonus thanks to Kelly and Brian because they did that very well without any traps setting off. So props to those two. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or review? Helps other people find the show. And we love the feedback. It's greatly appreciated. Be like CoolKid260, who left an awesome review. And also our other listener, whose name we cannot pronounce. But they're great, too.
We're like Chance the Rapper in that SNL sketch about hockey.
There you go. If Apple Podcasts, though, aren't your jam, you can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher. Pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You will find us. Until next week, when we can actually talk about the movie.
Where are we going next week, Brian?
Spoiler town.
Pack your bags, friends. Until then, nerds out.
Later.
We're going to make it.